Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show. Dyke, Spike, and Fritz. We're in New Orleans counting down the days till Super Bowl 59, Eagles and Chiefs. Joining us now, you can see him on NBC Sports Philly pre- and post-game live. Chaz, Ron Jaworski, how are you feeling, brother?
I'm trying to keep my emotions down. It's early in the week. I want to be primed for Sunday at about 6:30, so I'm cool right now. Right? Like, you don't want to peak too early, man.
Yep.
Now, Chaz, your experience in the Super Bowl, was it 1 week in between the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl when you played it in 81, or was it two?
No, we had 2 weeks, and after we beat the Cowboys for the NFC Championship game, you know, we had the day off the next day, and we came in on Tuesday to 2 days. You know, for me, I'll put us right back to it. What do you think of that? Like 2 days.
Oh my God!
Different world.
No one knows what those things are now. But, you know, getting ready to the Super Bowl, we went 4 days to 2 days, and you know, players didn't complain, but after we lost the game, kind of the media made a big deal of it that, you know, Vermeil had overworked us and we'd worked too hard and all that sort of thing. It was all malarkey. I mean, we got to the Super Bowl because we were a hardworking team. You know, that was our backbone. We outworked everybody. That's why we got there. We didn't lose the game because we worked too hard. It just wasn't our day. Mistakes were made. On that particular day, the Raiders were the better team, even though I don't think if we played a seven-game series, I think we would have beaten them four. It wasn't our day. And that's the unfortunate thing about the NFL. It's one game. It's no series.
Yep.
So, Jaws, if I were to ask you, from an Eagles perspective, which matchup do you feel better about? Fangio versus Mahomes or Spags versus Hurts? Which one do you feel better about?
Man, both are phenomenal, phenomenal coaches. I mean, Vic Fangio had a tremendous year, and Spags had, you know, a number of good years as a defensive coordinator in the NFL and four Super Bowl rings. So, to pick one of those two guys would be kind of crazy, because they're both dear friends, by the way. You know, Vic I've known for 40 years, and Spags for over 25 years, going back to his days at with the Philadelphia Stars. So, it's just the way these guys coach right now, they're just tremendous coaches. I don't give either of them an edge. I think they're two of the best in the business.
Yeah, it's a pretty fascinating matchup, I think, on both ends. The Spags versus Jalen, and Jalen's evolution from 2 years ago in the Super Bowl until now, and a different team. And then Fangio going up against probably the best – Fangio, rather, with the best defense he's had to go against Mahomes as well.
I'll interrupt you a second, give you a little story, maybe get a little insight to Steve Spagnuolo, because as I said a moment ago, he's a dear friend, and his wife Maria is from South Philly. They come in and stay down at Jersey Shore for a few weeks before training camp starts, and we always have dinner, the families, and Paul Gunther, who's a coach with the Dallas Cowboys, and we get together, just talk. You know, I love being with those guys because I learn about defense. You know, like sitting with Ike for dinner, you're going to learn a lot about the defense side. To give the quarterback side, talk about is throwing the ball. So, I just enjoyed kind of talking to those guys, and you know what they both feared? Teams that are committed to run the football. Spag said, that's what bothers me. Paul Gunn said, that's what bothers me. Because some teams will run it twice, get stopped, and abandon the run. The good teams that stay with are what bother defensive coaches. Because good defensive coaches like to design, they're designers. They want to do fancy blitzes and, you know, double-A pressures and all those things to beat you with scheme rather than just being a flat-out football player. So what you have to do is, and I think the Eagles have an advantage because they have shown this year they are staying committed to the run.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree with you on that, Jaws. We don't spend a whole lot of time talking about the head coaches. We get into the coordinators, the quarterbacks, and all these other things. But Andy going up against Nick Sirianni, or vice versa, however you want to phrase it, I'm wondering from the last time they met in the Super Bowl to this time, do you think Nick approaches this game any differently? Is there any more aggressiveness in this game? From he looks back on that last Super Bowl and sort of feels like do you try to make something happen in a game like this if you're the head coach? Do you create that opportunity?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you got to be careful as a head coach, and I say this as a quarterback too, because you've got to let the game come to you. And what happens in a game like this, hey, it's the Super Bowl. It's not just another game. Everything for the last 2 weeks has been totally different to what you're used to. And I look at it this way from this Eagles team. There are 8 new starters on defense, 8 from 2 years ago at Super Bowl meeting. You look on offense, there are 4 new starters. So this is a different team. So these guys new to this Eagle team, they're going to react a little bit differently. So I think you have to stay true to who you are, and also don't let the game get too big. It's easy, you know, it's easy to say that for you and I. Now we sit with a microphone in front of us.
Yeah.
But if you got to play the game. It's crazy. It's different. It's strange. It's weird. All the things you can think of, it's different. It's just not another game. So I think the team that handles those distractions has a better chance to win. Not saying they will win, but they have a better chance to win.
Yeah.
What kind of game do you think they're going to need out of Jalen Hurts on Sunday to win this?
Well, Jalen's going to have to play well. There's no doubt in my mind. Spags will load the box, try to take away the run. That's just the way that he will do it. And he's going to look at this Eagle team and say, what do they want to do? They want to run the football. We've got to stop the run. If the Eagles get in manageable situations all day, Spags knows they're going to get one of those home runs off them. So, you know, you don't want to get, you can give up the 2 and 3 yard runs, but you don't want to give those 3 and 4 where you get to 3rd and 1 or 3rd and 2. Now the play action plays come, or that's when Saquon Barkley makes his big runs, when you load the box and he gets on the edge of the defense.
Yeah. One guy that I think we almost avoid talking about, Jaws, because we don't want to be stressing out about him, but Jake Elliott. I mean, Jake Elliott in this game may have to come down and make some big kicks. What's your confidence level in Jake right now?
Well, if you compare him to Harrison Buckner, who's for the Kansas City Chiefs, the guy's one of the hottest kickers in the league the last couple of years. He's got a bomb of a leg. He can hit him from 70 yards. We don't have that luxury right now. I just hope it doesn't come down to a 50-plus field goal. And he struggled on extra points as well. So, you know, I think Jake Elliott's a pro. I trust Jake Elliott, so I hope he can come through if he's called upon.
Jaws, we've been talking about an either-or situation for about a week now that Ike proposed to me on the air. We've been asking all of our experts, and it is a tough one. So I'm going to make you pick. We'll see if you pick. I'm going to make
pressure.
You pick. You can choose one of these two situations to be in at the end of Sunday's game. Situation one, the Eagles are up 4 points. The Chiefs get the ball at their own 20-yard line with 3 minutes to go. Situation two, the Eagles are down 4 points. They get the ball on their own 20 with 30 minutes to go. With 3 minutes to go, which situation would you rather face if you're the Eagles?
I'm taking our defense.
Wow.
I think
you're the first.
Finally, Jaws.
I'm taking our defense. I think it's going to be the key to the game overall, not just in that situation. You know, when I've looked at the Chiefs and I see Joe Tooney at left tackle and Juwan Taylor at right tackle, they're going to have to keep their two guards inside because we'll crush them inside. So those guys are going to get one-on-one blocks. And I think that's the area we can take advantage of the Chiefs' offense with the pass rush on the edge with those two tackles.
Mm. Wow. And
he knows football.
He does. A football guy. Finally, we got a football guy. Yeah. And is there, aside from the Patrick Mahomes thing, would, as an Eagles fan, what would number one concern be about the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday?
You know, they've been kind of overlooked because their offensive line has not been able to hold up against a good pass rush. But their wide receivers, now DeAndre Hopkins is not a burner, but he's a good possession receiver. But Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown can fly. They are fast. And I think you're going to see some maximum protection shots where you're going to see Andy and his offensive staff take some shots, go max pro, run two receiver routes and take their shots on them because they do have some speed. But they can't use that speed if Patrick Mahomes is on his back. So they're going to go some maximum pro and take their shots to get explosive plays.
All right, Jaws. Well, I mean, are you ready to make a prediction? I don't know.
Yeah, I've already made it a few times.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it. All right, give it to us, then.
I'm very happy to give you my pick. Eagles 24, Chiefs 19. Super Bowl 59 is owned by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
Love it. 24-19.
Now,
24-19.
One last thing we'd like to address with you. We were listening to your appearance on the morning show last week, and we heard Joe DiCamera rudely ask on the air for his sister to get into the cigar party. So we would just like to apologize, I think, for Joe for doing something. And we all have sisters that we would like to get in as well.
No need, Spike. I got her in.
All right.
So we're up to 1,101 guests right now.
All right. Okay. Sounds good.
That sounds like a great party right there.
Yeah.
Like 15 years we're doing that party, so it does pretty darn well. We have a lot of fun, and we raise money for Gridiron Greats, which is Coach Ditka's foundation, which most people think all the players make money like they do nowadays. There are a lot of guys in the NFL that played ball for a lot of years back in the day that aren't doing that well. So Gridiron Greats helps those guys out any way that Coach Ditka can. And, of course, Jaws Youth Playbook helps at-risk kids in our community. So we share the proceeds from the event. We've had over 1,000 for the last 15 years, so we're going to keep growing it.
Man.
All right. Thank you as always, Jaws.
Appreciate it, Jaws.
You guys are the best, man. Look forward to working with you on the weekend, Ike.
That's right. Yep. Oh, that's right. We'll be
Yeah. Ike TV. Yeah.
Oh, is it Ike TV again?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, a little Super Bowl Sunday.
Man, what outfit we got? You picked out the outfit board yet, or what?
I got that thing picked out already.
Yep. I'm sure you do.
Yeah. I'm sure you do.
I would have wore a sweatshirt.
Yeah, probably, but
not
a good sweatshirt.
Super Bowl Sunday.
A good sweatshirt, though, not a hoodie.
My
hoodie.
I will say my hoodie game is starting to get there.
Oh.
Stepping up.
Yeah. You're stepping up.
Yeah?
Got the Roback one.
Got a what?
Roback?
Oh, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
It's kind of trendy.
Yeah. Okay. To what?
You are a trendsman.
Oh, yeah. Everybody
Dude,
knows.
I got boots the other day.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a these are not the boots. I'm going to be a problem in about a year.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
You and Elliot going to?
No. I dress like a man.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right.
Wow.
215-592-9494. Are you more nervous or confident than you were a week ago in the Eagles on Sunday? Dave in Delaware, you're on WIP.
Man, I'm more nervous. I mean, you got number 15 over there, Patrick Mahomes, man. I mean, if you look at this guy's track record, it's incredible. I mean, you know, you be talking about Tom Brady, but he's killing Tom Brady's records. I mean, 7 straight AFC championship games. Nobody's ever done that. I mean, it's
LeBron
be tough.
Did it.
Oh, stop.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, that guy. Like, the Eagles cannot be up by 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. They got to be up by, like, 10, at least 14, because the guy can come back, man. And that's the problem I got. Listen, they've been playing like this all year. Then this one game, this is their chance. Andy Reid, 2 weeks, he's going to be prepared for the Eagles, man. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. I just hope that the Eagles show up. I think the key is Saquon. If they can get him to run, that opens up everything. But if they shut him down, we'll see. They're going to have to step up. But I think they, you know, I think this is possible. But it's right now with Patrick Mahomes, until it's 0-0-0, Ike, and I see the confetti on the green side, then I know we won. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We're going to need a good offensive game plan. They have to be prepared for Spags to want to load up and try to slow down Saquon. But they've seen loaded boxes all year. I mean, they've seen this stuff all year. It really boils down to, you know, Jalen playing well in the passing game. If he's playing well early in the passing game, then that defense has no choice but to take the extra guy out of the box, and you start paying attention more to A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert, and now maybe Saquon takes over in the second half. That's kind of what I'm envisioning happening in this game Sunday. And then when you flip it, I just like our defense versus this Chiefs offense.
You've always been a D-man.
Man, I just like. Listen, Patrick Mahomes is great.
And, Big D guy.
And he can find a way to make plays against anybody's defense. So I get that. But other than Patrick Mahomes, I like our matchup of our outside guys versus their skill guys. I certainly love our D-line, Jalen Carter, going up against this Chiefs offensive line that's been really – it's been moved around all year long to where they got – Tooney playing left tackle, and he's really a guard. Can you imagine trying to have somebody single block Jalen Carter on the inside?
Well, I think the two things that gives me confidence.
Thank you for the call, Dave.
Is teams have ran well against this Chiefs team in the postseason?
Yes.
I mean, James Cook just did it.
James Cook looked good last
week.
Have run.
It's one of the two.
Right. You can't have ran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make you better.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to embarrass you on the
well,
radio.
Too late. Yeah, well, it's too late.
Too late for that. Okay.
Everywhere I go, you try to dunk on me at all times.
No, I don't.
Really
I love
do.
You. I love
no,
you.
But you. No, but you know what you love more?
What?
Making me look like an idiot.
No, you do that just fine on your
no
own.
No one better, some would
yeah,
say.
Yeah. Anyway.
No one has ran as well. As a,
there you go. No one has run.
Yeah.
Yeah. That the
half. No one's half run.
Yeah.
No has. Half. No have.
Half. Yeah. I think the big thing with Saquon is I don't think anybody's shutting him down.
Right.
I think the difference is that we have relied on Saquon for big, huge, explosive plays. I think that what we might have to be prepared for is he doesn't bust 2 70-yard touchdowns, you know?
I'd be surprised if he has one of those in this one.
Right, yes, and that's the big difference, and that's
You'd be
why.
Surprised.
I would be surprised, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No?
I expect one.
One?
I'd love to have it.
Dude, if Saquon breaks a run like that in the Super Bowl, that's an all-time Super Bowl
yeah.
moment.
Now, it may not be 70.
All right,
but no,
yeah.
A 40, 50-yard
run. As long as it's the whole way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, yeah, I expect him to make a big run.
Now, what if Ship gets in there? Is he going to get caught from behind?
Yeah.
Unless Kenny G is still injured, I don't expect to see Shipley out there playing running back.
And we haven't heard anything about Kenny G. Right.
Right. You know what? Because when's their first official? What, are they practicing now?
No, tomorrow, right?
Right, yeah, that's what I thought.
So, you know, one thing, and Jack will have much more. One thing that we're going to try to give you from New Orleans is the sights and sounds and our experience. Mm-hmm. And I think Jack will have a lot more of this in the top five.
Oh, there was a lot to break down yesterday.
But one thing that we got to break down
here. This is
Ike's
favorite thing.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, okay. So we all go out to dinner last night.
Yeah.
And there was a problem at the hotel. The guys couldn't check into their rooms. So, you know, everybody was dressed in what they flew in. So we decided that we're going to go out after dinner. We go back to the hotel, and Ike's like, I'm going to go upstairs for a minute.
Yep.
I'm going to come down, and then we're going to go out.
Just a minute.
So we all – and Giglio actually went up too. So we're all sitting in the lobby in our flight clothes, and 10 minutes passes. And 20 minutes passes, and Giglio comes down, and he looks around, and he's like, where's Ike? And we're all like, I don't know, maybe he fell asleep. Maybe we're going to get to go to bed here.
There was some sleep allegations.
Yeah, there was some sleep
allegations. Y'all thought I went up there and went to sleep?
Yes, we thought that was possible.
Yeah.
So then there was the debate, do we check in on Ike? I'm like, I don't know. If you check in on him, he's definitely going to come down. We might be able to go to bed if we just let him sleep.
Oh, you're trying not to go out.
Well, you know me. And look, I was cool when we went out.
Right.
It was totally good, but any opportunity I have to go to bed. So, I don't know, 30 minutes later,
oh,
35
God.
Minutes later.
Could have been an hour.
Yeah. Here comes Ike, totally, like, showered, shaved, in a new outfit, in this poppin' sweater, chains,
yeah.
smelling good,
yeah.
looking good, ready to go out. You guys ready? And I was like, oh, man. Not only is he looking he already looks better than all of us, but not only does he look like going out, Ike has freshened up upstairs, too. Like, he is ready to go. So
Ike Bourbon Street.
Yeah, so thanks for letting us sit in the lobby, only to watch you come down.
I thought
down.
You guys were upstairs freshening up yourselves.
No.
I don't freshen up.
Yeah.
And we also didn't have a room, Ike.
Well, I had a room. I could have freshened up a little bit.
Right.
I could have put on a collar.
Well, I guess we didn't have a room by that point.
Yeah.
We had a room by that point.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
I can't let the outfits go to waste, man.
No, of course
not. I packed them, so I got to wear them.
And you have a second bag just for your shoes.
Just for the shoes.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
That was the heaviest suitcase I've ever packed, by the way. I did pack 4 going out outfits.
See?
4.
See?
I didn't wear any of them last night, so I got to go out twice tonight.
Nice.
Yeah.
Make Ike wait.
Yep. 215-592-9494. Nick in Harleysville. You're on WIP. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Hey, Nick.
Hey, so I think that the Eagles, I don't know, every day is different. I think today I'm optimistic about the Eagles. The one thing that maybe I'm making a big deal about this more than other people are the referees and how they referee the post-game, especially the Super Bowl. I'm a big
ref the post-game
fan
show?
What's that?
What do you mean, ref the post-game? What does that mean?
Well, so you know, I'm a big fan, I'm sure everybody else is, of let them play. Right? Well, there were a couple plays in the Redskins game that the refs let them play, and it was
Commanders.
Clearly pass interference on the Redskins, right? So my whole thing is that...
Well, the Eagles were much more beneficiary from the
correct.
Calls on last Sunday.
Correct, but why is it does the NFL allow the refs to almost go by a different set of rules in the post game than they do in the regular season games?
Why not let them have let them play rules throughout the entire season? That way the defensive backs on both teams and the wide receivers on both teams know what they can and can't get away with. I think that to me draws away from watching the Super Bowl and having all these big explosive plays on either side of the football.
Nothing draws away from watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Nick, I have to be honest with you. I don't think the refs call the game very much different in the postseason.
Well, they actually call it our Super Bowl in 17.
Because everyone wants to let them play, right? They want to get handsy, which I'm all for, right? But have the rules be the exact same through the regular season also and not just for the post and the Super Bowl. Let them play.
Yeah, but you're going to say that until somebody
pulls down AJ.
Yeah, grabbing AJ's arm the entire time.
Right, but then you can also say this, is that the last time the Eagles met the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, whenever they made that fourth down stop, and then they had that one ridiculous, like, oh, he, like, grabbed his jersey, but it was just nothing, and that guy ended up catching the football in the end zone. I mean, where do we stop? Do we let them play, or do we get away with just sneezing on them and it's a pass interference call?
You know what, Nick? I think the refs try to do, and I'm not trying to defend them, but I think they have to call every game based on the way it's kind of being played between the two teams that it's playing. I think a ref's job is actually way more hard than we give it credit for. I think, like, they are – I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to stand on an NFL football field while a game is being played, but I got that opportunity a couple of times. And it is so the fact that they call what they call accurately is actually mind-blowing to me.
Because I'm sure.
One quick thing, Nick. One of the things you don't really think about when you're watching the game is that we're watching from an angle. We're watching from above, from the middle. They're watching at ground level. So all of these guys running, they're all taller than them, bigger than them, faster than them, and they almost have to see through what's happening. So I think they do, and thank you for the call, I think they sort of look at every game and say, how physical is this game? How physical are these two teams? And they call the game based on that. So if it's two teams that are physical, they let them get away with a little bit more. And if it's getting too chippy out there, that's when they start calling stuff to sort of keep the game in a reasonable zone of gameplay is what I think they're trying to do.
And the officials never want to be a part of the story.
No.
They don't want to, because they know we're going to replay over and over and over that call, and, you know, we're going to scrutinize calls. So they don't want to be a part of it. And to play with James Bradberry, if it doesn't happen out in that ISO shot between he and the wide receiver and you're grabbing his waist, what's the official supposed to do? He can either let it go.
Right.
And then he's going to get killed by the Kansas City side for not making the call.
Right.
They're late. So he's calling it by the letter of the law. And even Bradberry after the game said, I grabbed him.
Right.
He said it.
Yeah. Most times when they call something, it happened.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how many times they call it when it happened.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Now, Jack, I'm getting a little confused now because of times. We're going to talk to Buzz next.
We're going to talk to Buzz next.
Okay. So, if you remember last week, we got made up a giant thank you, Joe, card to thank Joe Shane.
I was going
to
say, we're thanking Joe DeCamera.
No, Joe Shane. We're never thanking Joe DeCamera. Thanking Joe Shane for not signing Saquon Barkley so we could.
Yep.
We got that card signed by a lot.
300 Eagles fans.
A lot of Eagles fans. A lot.
300.
A lot. It wasn't that, but it was a lot. And Buzz, we sent Buzz and Tucker to the Giants facility today to deliver the card directly to Joe Shane.
So sweet. What I find interesting, and I would like to break it down with Buzz, is he took a picture outside MetLife Stadium.
Which is not where the Giants facility is.
I didn't know if he went to the right place.
Dude, if he went to the wrong place.
Oh, he went to MetLife Stadium.
Well, maybe he did both.
It's right. It's in the same lot.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, this is what I'm going to say. I went over a diagram of the place with Rod last week, right? With Rod. Yeah. I showed him exactly where the facility is,
yep.
exactly where Buzz should park. Yep. And if Buzz walked into friggin' MetLife when the Giants' offices are right next to MetLife, the guy is not working on our show anymore.
That would be such a Buzz thing to do.
I will murder him. And if you lie about it, Buzz, I'm going to call the Giants and find out if you walked in there. I will find out if you lie.
He will, too.
So, hey, yeah, he's serious, too.
I've worked with them for 3 years. I'm going to be able to get that answer. So if you don't lie, at least tell the truth. So Buzz will join us next, and we will find out exactly what happened, whether he was able to deliver the car to Joe Shane.
This is going to go swell.
This is going to go great.
Are you more confident or more nervous than you were a week ago? 215-592-9494. The WIP Afternoon Show in New Orleans.
Hey!
With Ike, Spike, and Fritz.